got a little boy, and when he does his hair all perfect, I come and ruffle it up, you know? And it's like, that's how God is with us, man. He comes and he changes plans and he changes things. This morning, I came with like, okay, I think this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And God just came and ruffled it up. And rightfully so, because this is his. You belong to him. I belong to him. We belong to him. And the Lord can do whatever he wants to do. So hold on. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the day. Let's see what happens. But that's going to be exciting. But I'm really excited to be with you guys. And just wanted to say thank you. I know many of you, there were some guys that was away this weekend, climbed in a car at 5 o'clock this morning, drove here to be here this morning. And yes, it's just incredible. It's incredible how if we give ourselves to the Lord and God starts working in our hearts, and we can see him build his kingdom in us and through our lives. Auntie Leslie, it's absolutely amazing being with you. Where's the sound guy? Oh, you're at the back there. Okay, is it right? Is it too loud? Are you guys okay? We'll figure out the thingy. Auntie Leslie, it's amazing having you here. Can we pray for you quickly? Can we? Auntie Leslie's going in on Wednesday to get her new pacemaker. The one, she's got such a big heart. So the small pacemaker she's got currently can't keep up with her heart. So they're going to come and put in a new pacemaker on Wednesday. A Lamborghini one. So it's an imported one. So let's just watch this space. So next week, if she's dancing and running around the church, you know why. But let's just pray for Auntie Leslie. Lord, we want to thank you, God, just for an amazing, amazing woman, Lord, that loves you with all of her heart, God. And Father, I want to pray that you would just come and cover her, that you with your peace will rule and reign in her heart, Lord. And as she goes in on Wednesday, Lord, that will be a smooth operation, a smooth process, God. Be with the doctors, be with everybody involved, Lord Jesus. And then when Auntie Leslie comes out, God, that we will see her running around for you, Lord, stronger and healthier than before, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. So this morning, going to look a little bit different. I'm not going to preach. Oh, I thought at one point someone's going to say hallelujah. So thank you. I appreciate that. But it's a bit of a family morning this morning. So, you know, the Lord has been shifting and moving. And as elders, we've gone away. We've tried to find the Lord on certain aspects of the church. You know, church isn't just this on a Sunday. You guys get that. We are the church. You know, we meet here. But church isn't just a Sunday service. Church is way more than that. And I wanted this morning just talk a little bit around our community groups. What is community groups? Why community groups are so important? And who are the community groups in Melkbos? And some of the shifts and changes that are happening within those community groups. And then where do you guys form part of that? So firstly, I think we all know the scripture, Acts 2 verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, to prayer. And then it goes on in verse 46. Can you quickly put up verse 46 for me? And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. You get a picture of what the early church was like. The early church wasn't just meeting together in the temple like this on a Sunday. They, day by day, they were meeting in each other's homes, even in the temples. And even at some point, they went to Solomon's colonnade where they got together. And apparently, there was 30 to 50,000 people. Can you imagine that? You know, you think our conferences are crazy and wild and big. Imagine 30 to 50,000 people. How much people can a rugby stadium hold? About 60 to 80? So it's about that, you know? So we read in the Bible that is what church looked like. Today, we get two types of churches in the evangelical Pentecostal kind of movements. You either get these mega churches. Who's seen mega churches? Who's been in America? If you've been in America, you would have seen mega churches. There is about 30, 40,000 people in this auditorium, which looks like a football stadium. And that's how they meet every Sunday. And there's one guy that will preach. There's incredible worship most often. But the people are just there. You do become a number. Because how does anybody look after the flock of the Lord? That's the one side. Then you get the other side, which is probably in a bit of like going against this mega church thing, where you get guys that go, well, it's all about home groups. It's all about meeting in each other's homes. So let's just meet in one another's homes. Who knows that famous scripture, where two or three gathered, there I am. So guys just go, I don't need church. I don't need that. I can just meet in my home, get a couple of people together. We eat, we sing, we pray. That's church. Yes and no. You know that as the body of Christ, we need both. It's like lungs. Your lungs, if one of your lungs is not working properly, how are you going to function? Hey? Can you think about it? If you don't have both, we need the big, the medium, and the homes. We need both. And just for scripture reference, Acts 5 verse 12, it says, all the believers used to meet in Solomon's colonnade. That's that big, the bigness of God. Our conferences, 412 conference, why is that so important? Because we as believers get together. The Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. When we get together, God moves in a different way on those big occasions than what he does on a Sunday. Then that portion of, in Acts 2 verse 46, the temple, another word for that was synagogue. And I did a study this week just on how many synagogues were in Jerusalem. And just the one little area, Galilee, where you know Jesus came from, the area of Galilee, you know that there were more than 50 synagogues in that area, which was as big as Melkbos. Melkbos, Bloberg area. 50 synagogues. Why? Because each person needed to belong. Each person, synagogue, and where the concept of local congregations, and even in the Muslim world where it goes about mosques, that comes from synagogues. That's where that whole concept comes from. So we see the big, we see this, the medium, and then we see in each other's homes day by day. And that is where church is actually the most active. Who's experienced that? Who's experienced being in a home and you go, is this church? Eh? Okay, not many of you guys. Everybody okay? Everybody okay? So just the theology around why do we have communities? It's because we want to build healthy churches. We want to have what the Bible says. You know, Uncle Will always used to say this. For those of you that don't know, Uncle Will used to be part of Josh Gen, one of the elders. He's passed away a couple of years ago now. But he always said, if we want to have what they had, talking about the New Testament church, if we want to have what they had, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the people getting saved daily, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we've got to know what those guys knew. And more than that, we've got to do what they did. Because that's the ways of God. It's not we coming up with our new ideas, with our clever thoughts, our clever stuff that we think we know best. Not at all. We go, Lord, what are you wanting to do? Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And so for us as a congregation and for us as elders that the Lord has said, lead my people, look after them. We came together and we said, God, what's on your heart for your church that we look after in Melkbos? And we need to find that and go, okay, Lord, what is it? Who do we overlook? Do you know that we often overlook people? It's a horrible thing to say. But it happens. But who knows you better than what even you know yourself? God, Jesus. And the Lord will highlight your life every step of the way. And as elders, we are there to go, okay, Lord, who are you directing and moving forward and into the things that you're wanting to do. We as elders can very easily, under Andrew, come and cast the vision. You know that scripture that says, my people perish because of lack of vision? So if there's no vision, if we don't know where we're going to, what has God called us to do, what's going to happen? Yeah, I'll perish, but you're just going to be aimless. You're going to be wondering, and then this is going to happen, and then that is happen. I don't think we're going to see much fruit. But as elders, we meet with Andrew, and I almost want to just give you guys a bit of a, like, this is how church works. This is the way God intended it to be. Andrew cast the vision for us. As us, as elders here in Melkbos, we are under shepherds. We are looking after you guys, and we're following Andrew as he follows Jesus. But we cast a vision, and that's great. That's like, this is where we're going, guys. This is what we're doing. But you know where that vision gets cemented and where it finds its depth is in communities. Because in communities is the outworking of that. If we look at, imagine I just preach every Sunday, Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, but we never get to practice it. What's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. That's where I think the Bible says, we become these puffed up, full of knowledge kind of people because there's no outworking of our faith. That's why Jesus said, listen and obey what I'm telling you to do. I remember when I, after I took a bit of a detour from the Lord, I backslid. I lost the Lord I lost the Lord. The Lord didn't lose me. I honestly believe during that time, if I died, I honestly believe to this day I would have not gone to heaven. But I remember the Lord waking me up, audibly hearing his voice one Saturday morning, just going, if you carry on with your life you're doing now, you will die. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, Lord Jesus. I sat up in my bed. I literally sold everything. I gave notice that I was living in Durbanville and I moved to Melkbos. And I was surfing for the first time again in a long time at Corner, and Andrew and Mornay van der Walt came kiting past us. It was like a northwest day. I still remember it clearly. They came past me, and Mornay said to me, Borry, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay. Who's had that when someone that you know you're not really with the Lord, and someone asks you how you're doing, and you're like awkwardly going, yeah, I'm okay, you know, who's had that? I've had that, you know. And I remember Maury just saying to me, and we chatted a bit, and he said, come to church. And I loved it. I came to church. It was like this. Josh Jen, back then, we met in the Leibrand van Niekerk Hall, which is in Tableview, the bottom of Tableview. This was about 22 years ago. And I remember walking in a service very much like this, probably about 200 people. And God just touched my life. I absolutely saw something that I've never seen in my life. I saw life. I saw Jesus move. I saw people's lives turning around. I saw a devotion that I've never seen before in people's heart. And this is me after being a youth pastor, full-time employed for about 5 years in a church. And I saw it. I was like, God, this is your church. I was there for about 2-3 Sundays. And then I disappeared. I don't know why, I just couldn't go back there. And about 2 weeks after that, a guy called Jaco van Rensburg phoned me. It's like, Barend, where are you? And he pulled me into community, not church. I heard an incredible preach. And looking back, I realized preaching alone will not save my life. You know what saved my life? Community. A guy called Jaco van Rensburg and Sharon van Rensburg, who drew me into family and pulled me in, said, come on, sort out your nonsense. Why do you do that? You know? And they loved on me. They pulled me in, started surfing with me, started hanging out. They became some of my best friends. Still to this day, some of my best friends. I remember a time where I did some silly stuff, and that's another story for another time. Ivan pulling me close. Didn't know what to do. I was like going, Ivan said, come, just do the basics. Pull into community. Stand. You don't have to run. You don't have to just do the basics. And those basics were come to church, come to community. Because he realized in community, as we pull one another close, the outworking of what we hear on a Sunday happens. That's why communities are so, so important. There's that scripture that says, God puts the lonely into family. And for us, that's what we're building, is a family unit. We are building families. Now, who feels that community sometimes could be a little bit artificial? Hey? It could be a bit artificial. It's like, I didn't choose these people, you know? All the community leaders are looking around saying, who said that? But it is. Like, let's be real, man. Like, it is. It can feel artificial in the beginning. I've been into communities where I was like, this is awkward, you know? I didn't choose these people. I didn't choose nobody. Who chose me? God chose me. And God puts us in family. And if we together can go, Lord, I'm in this family. You know that it's not by chance that you are in the community that you're in. Last week I had that thing where I said, iron sharpens irons. You know, the people within your community are the right people for you to take you further in your own life. They see your character. They see the things. They see what's going on in your life, spending time with you and can help you. Where on a Sunday, hey, I come dressed in my Sunday best. This is my Sunday best, by the way. I don't have better than this. But don't we do that? Don't we put on like our best for a Sunday? I gaan kerk toe. Ek moet goed lyk. Huh? And it's like, and even our faces, we don't always see it. But on a community where people are in your life and they've got you over for supper and in your homes, that's where they go, okay, why is that there? Not to show out your faults, because what is our aim as being Christians? To become more like Jesus. And that's where it happens in communities. So communities are vital. I almost want to say it's not an add-on. I actually want to say this. It's not an add-on to what we do in church. Communities for me, and I think for many of us, is even more important than this, than a Sunday morning. Because our Sunday morning should be an overflow of praise and worship and coming together, of living this Christian life out and experiencing God together and learning from the Lord and building and getting visitors in so that we can reach those around us. But it starts in our homes on Wednesdays. Communities are more important in some way than this. So are you in a community? Cool. Who loves their communities? I love my community. I was in Zandri and Chart's community for the whole of last year, and it was absolutely amazing. So for us, just coming back, coming into this year, I've noticed and I've seen how God has been adding to us. As a congregation, we've had a lot of visitors, and visitors, we absolutely love you guys. Like, it's great getting guys coming in. But you know that as visitors, you come into a scenario like this, and you're loving, you're sensing God, you're sensing there's life here, but you go, what is next? You know, how do I become part? Because, and I don't want to become part of something that I don't know. Eh? Because how do you know what you're getting yourself? You know, Jesus said, when you build a house, consider the cost. Consider what it is you're getting involved with, you know, like that whole scripture. So for us, we've had a lot of visitors coming through. And just as elders, as we've got together, we realized that our community groups are packed to the brim. You know, we want to make space for everybody. I'm an extrovert kind of person, so I love people. I'm always... like, I get enthused by people. Who's an introvert? And introverts will probably not put up their hands, so don't worry about it. Tony's amazing. But as an introvert or a different personality, and again, our personalities can't dictate what we do. We need to say, Lord, come save me. Come change me. I want to, you know, if I've had to learn how to become a little bit more of an introvert, you know. But But for us in communities, if we've got these communities of 20 to 30 people, people start doing this. And I get it. We want every person to be part, to find life, to be able to expand. And what we've realized as elders, we got together, we looked at our community groups and we realized they are full. Jesus could manage 12 guys. And one of them fell away. Okay. I've had a community of 30 people. It was absolute chaos. And you lose a bit of a flavor of getting into one another's home. So as elders, we felt the Lord say to us, let's widen the community groups that we've got. Let's add more community so that people that join, people that come in, people that visit can slot into communities and find the life of God and see who and what we are all about. Because that's where you get to know it. And also you build different relationships. So for us, it is important to go, who have you got relationship with? Who are you walking with? And if it gets too big, poor community members cannot get to everybody. As elders, we rely so much on our community leaders. So much. And it's men that we know and people that we trust, people that is trustworthy, people that is not easily swayed, and they know, they carry the deep truths of God in their heart, and they know how to build us. So, is everybody getting like suspense? Like, you can feel the suspense building. Like, okay, just tell us now who the community leaders are. Okay, I'm getting there. So, as God has been adding to us, we've been looking at this, and this little phrase has been keep on popping in and out, like as I've been having quiet times and talking to a number of guys, this phrase of waiting on the Lord and not rushing. Like I say to the guys, we need to go as slow as what is needed because we don't want to lose anybody. With shifts that we do, as slow as what is needed, but as fast as possible because God's kingdom is advancing. So it's always holding those two things in tension, going, Lord, how do we make sure everybody comes in? But you're starting to add, okay, how do we move? How do we shift? How do we change? How do we broaden? Because we want people to join. You know, God's in the multiplication business. Who knows that song, Make the Circle Bigger? Johan knows it. Can you sing it for us quickly? That's what God is. God is in the place of make the circle bigger. Who knows, it's like that's the thing. God wants to add to us. He's multiplying. We never split communities because split is just a bad word. Like, we don't split up. No, we multiply. And you know what the reality is when we multiply? Some of us have got good friends that we're going to not see that much anymore. Yaku and Sharon that I mentioned earlier, they were some of my best friends. We hung out literally every single day. Now I see him maybe when we've got like leaders meetings in Josh Jen. He lives in Mornington. I hardly see him anymore. But when I see him, it's like he's a brother. And you know what the good part is? We're going to spend eternity together. But we've got a job to do here and right now, what God has called us to do. Cool. So, as slow as needed, but as fast as possible. So we've actually, behind the scenes, that many of you might not know, been taking this whole month of February and going, Lord, what are the shifts? What are the moves? How do you want to change us? So is everybody excited to be in a community, firstly? Okay. If you're not, come talk to us. If you don't, you see it. Like, do you guys see the value? And it's not a value even of ours. It's a biblical way of church, of building church. It's the way God wants it to be. Because God doesn't want you to be that finger cut off, lying on the pavement and just hopping up and down and not counting for the Lord. That's like the only way I can explain it. God says we are body. We are body of believers. So if my finger gets cut off and it's just lying there, it might still move for a little bit. I don't know how long. Yeah, it's gross, but that's exactly what it means. Like, pick up your finger, put it back in your hand, and do what God wants you to do. Get involved, man. be part of the kingdom of God. Because we are living organism. We living stones, the Bible said, built together for God's glory. And people will look at us and go, what's different with them? How do I get involved there? Okay. So, slow as we need it, but as fast as possible. So what we want to do this morning is I want to just, some of the communities will stay as they are. Some of them will multiply. And then there's a couple of new guys that are coming on as community leaders. And this morning, we would love to pray for them. I would love for you guys to see who they are, where they, and you can, and we are going to land pretty soon. And I want to give us some space here that we don't all rush home, but go and say to your, I'd love to come into your community, or I'd love to come and visit you. And I'll talk about that a little bit now. But I first wanted to just share with you guys who the community members are. Actually, before we go there, let me tell you just what, some of the things that we are sensing. So just in a transition, whenever there's a transition, when you're taking one step to the next, where's your most vulnerable moment? Is when you're taking a step, am I right? Because you've got one foot in the air, one foot on the ground, and it's not that stable. Obviously, as human beings, we've learned how to be very stable in our runnings, you know? But I want to say, when we do these transitions and when these moves are happening, don't let the instability of the moment let the devil have a foothold in your life. You know, as we shift and change certain things, make sure you walk it out with your current community leaders as well as some of the elders or deacons. Just bounce it off, guys, and make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. You know, if we do anything out of our own, it's flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. When we move in the spirit, we will see the spirit grow in our lives. So this is an opportunity for those of you that might be thinking that you're wanting to, what other communities are out there? Okay, so carefully I'm saying this. We'd love for you guys. We can never rule over you and say to anybody, you go there, you go there, you do that. That's ruling with what the Bible says as elders. We can't do that. We work with people's faith and with what they believe and what God has been telling them. So I want to encourage you guys, as you see these guys standing up here and you go, there's something there. There's something with that person, like there's a connection. Go and visit that community. When you visit different communities, 2 weeks, 3 weeks max, and then make sure that you slot into a community. Because what happens, where's Paulette? You want to quickly come share that word? Just in light of this, what happens if we miss what God is doing and how we could actually miss God in this transition? Just that you had for this morning.
Yeah, God reminded me of a picture. I have a plant that someone gave to me, Josh and Crystal, and it was new, and I gave it water, and the next moment it was in a basket, all the water just fell right through, and I realized there was no lid underneath, so they bought me this beautiful plant in a basket, but no lid. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart that we can come here as plants, and you can get watered, but the water is going to fall right through if you're not actually part of a community and there's something catching that water at the bottom. And that's the foundation of the house of God. And once that water is caught at the bottom, the plant can actually, in its own time, soak it up from the roots, and it actually nourishes the plant and it grows out to the top. And then the plant is healthy. So sometimes, you know, you think you get fed by just coming to a Sunday church, but the water will just drain right through you and you're not missing it. You're not getting it into your roots. And while I was reminded of this picture, God also reminded me of a picture I shared at the elders camp where there was a knitting together of, and he showed me the strings of yarn. And you can't make a blanket by just coming alongside and just putting all these yarns together next to one another. It's still loose strings. You literally have to knit it in, which means you're going to be stretched. You have to be knit in to become part of this blanket. And some of you might feel like you're still sitting on the outside and you're part of this blanket, but you need to give of yourself. You need to allow people that you are being knitted in so that we can be effective for the kingdom of God as a blanket.
Very good. It's just such a beautiful picture of communities. Can hear the word of God on a Sunday, it pours out over us, and it just goes. But where there's a community group, a leaders and people looking after you and walking a road with you, that water can get caught up. And like she said, and you can absorb what God is busy doing and process it in your own heart. So, coming through to communities. And I quickly want to call up these guys. Come stand up front here so that everybody knows you, sees your face, knows who you are. Steph and Ilse, they've been running a community now for how long? Very long. Okay. So Steph and Ilse, I just absolutely love this couple. They are as solid as a rock. They are just men and a couple that if you want stability, like next to the word stability in the dictionary, you'll see Steph's face there, you know. So, and it's a compliment. It's like he's an absolute legend. Okay. So Steph and Ilse, they're running a community. And incredible, their community has been growing. So we'll see what's going to happen just as the growth happens further there. James and Jenna. James is on holiday. Jenna is here. I'm just joking. James is working hard. Well, he works. I hope he's still working hard. Yeah, good. Okay. So James and Jenna, they lead a community. Incredible. I think some of their best community members is Uncle John and Auntie Daphne. So legends. So, but yeah, they're going to be growing. And then out of their community, we are actually planting Francois and Marita to stake their own community. So you guys want to come up? Super excited for Francois and Marita. Francois, they joined us, what, about 2 years ago? About 2 years ago, they joined us, and just an incredible couple that carries the deep values of the Lord. Like, seriously, just like they know God. They are with God, and I'm excited to see what God's going to be doing through them this year. So they're going to be taking a community. Then Brendan and Hunnery, where are you guys? Brendan's at the back there. So these guys, Brendan and Hunnery has been in Josh Gen for like 50 years. Or even, you've been here. 100. Yeah. So I remember, where's Ezekiel and Sam? There you guys. I remember when they were born, we went to their house, and that was like what? Like, you know, 18 years ago, obviously. But Brendan and Hunnery, incredible couple, deacons in the house, and just, you know, yeah, just there's so much there. So with them is Mike. Yeah, sorry. Mike's like laughing at this. So much. So I know, sorry. I don't need to sell it for you, man. I'm like, need to sell it for other people, not for you. You're fine. So Mike and Cindy will be with him in the community. Both of them have got quite high-powered jobs. And so for Mike and Brendan, they work really well together, dovetailing, always making sure that someone's in the community as they need to travel for their own work. But their hearts are here. Like, these guys are with us. I'm super excited to see what God's going to be doing this year for them as well. Then Chart and Zandri, can you guys come up? But where's Charty? So I was in their community for the last year. They led a community together. And we are right now, you can stand on this side, Chart. Let's make the multiplication. So they are multiplying their community, which is super exciting. In their own right, each one of them are incredible leaders and loves the Lord. Henk and Heidi will be joining Zandri. So they're going to be with Zandri. We actually, Henk and Heidi's community, we're dissolving for a season, but we're pulling Henk and Heidi in with Zandri to support her, to grow with her, and just to see what come out of there. And then with Chart, Johan and Marilis, they're going to be supporting Chart. And I'm excited for Johan and Marilis. Watch this space. I said to them as they're going, I said, like, let's talk in 3 months and see what God wants to do. I'm excited. I think they could very soon lead their own community and again multiply that one out quickly. So we'll see we're going to see what's going to happen there. Then Jock and Elna, you guys want to come stand up here? Just an incredible couple. These guys love people. And if you ever want someone to pray for you, ask Elna, because Elna prays all the time. I love it. She's a prayer warrior. But just Jock and Elna, just incredible couple. that carry the values and bring people into family. And their community is also growing really, really well. So we'll see what's going to happen in that space. You don't need someone to support you. Jesus is there, so it's okay. Then Ivan and Karen has been leading a community now. It was going to be for like 2 weeks. Hey, can you lead a community for 2 weeks? That 2 weeks turned into 4 years. So Ivan and Karen, just incredible eldership couple with us. Just, they've been saved since they've been, just after they got born, you know. So not Karen, yeah. We all know Ivan and Karen. But just the sense of God wanting to use them in the broader sense of us here in Melkbos, to go visit different communities, to connect with visitors, to bring guys in. So we felt to release them of leading the community, and which is very exciting for me, Mitch and Sue Rankin is going to be taking over their community. You guys want to come stand with us? So they've been with us now for a while. They've been here and then traveling, but they're actually now, they're going to be here a lot longer. And so I'm excited to see that community, what God's going to be doing. There's a couple of couples in that community that we're keeping our eye on to see how God's going to be multiplying them. And just want to say, Ivan, Karen, absolutely incredible job that they've done pulling guys together. So thanks so much. You guys are legends. Then a couple that I'm really excited about, Marcel and Christelle van Tonde. You guys want to come up here? Come stand on this side. These guys are feeling lonely here. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with these guys this year. Christelle flows in the prophetic. I want to see that more, and we're going to see that development more. Marcel, incredible leader, gentle, knows the ways of God, knows God. So they're the only couple when I was like, Lord, who do you want to like put them with, you know? And I heard crickets. I'm like, okay. So I told them this story. When I started a community here before this church was planted, about 19 years ago, whatever it was, in Melkbos. Andrew came to me and said, cool, Brew, go lead a community in Melkbos. You live in Melkbos, go for it. It's like, okay, who's coming with? He goes, no one, just start something. I'm like, where do I find people? He goes, you'll find them, don't worry, just pray. I'm like, okay. So I prayed, and I met a guy called George Epinetos that many of you might know. And Georgie and myself had community together for 3 months, just the two of us. We went to the Spur every Wednesday. We prayed together. We built such a tight relationship together. 2 years after that, I found my wife, Leanne, and he found his wife, Nicole, which were sisters. And now we're brother and sister and brother-in-laws. I was like, Lord, what did you do? And it was, you know, like, how crazy is that? Like, before we even knew our wives, God put our hearts together. And today he is. He's my brother-in-law, but one of my best friends as well. So God does that. God, you don't know who's going to join your community and what's going to happen. So watch this space. We're going to pray for them. So if you feel sorry for them, tell them you want to be in your community. No, joking. No. Find God. Ask the Lord where you need to go. Okay, I'm just joking. You guys are good. Then Andre and Paulette, they've been leading a community as well. And 100 years. Yeah, they've been for a while. Yeah, no. It feels like 100 years. Paulette, I've never seen her go gray as quickly in this last year. So I'm just joking. I'm just joking. They're absolute legends. They on eldership with us. And just the same sense as Ivan and Karen, just God wanting to use them a bit broader. They incredible pastoral couple, pull people into their homes, can work through a lot of things that if you need to work through something, God can work through them. So I'm really excited to use them a little bit broader for us. And with that, we wanted to release them of running their community. And Clifford and Christy is going to be taking over from them. So can you guys come stand this side? So... the two will get together. So just super excited for Clifford and Christy. They've been part of our church for a while. Clifford last year went out on an outreach to Australia. You didn't go to Australia, you just went to Philippines, yeah. He went to the Philippines with Hannes, and the reports I got back was, bro, check Clifford out. Like, watch him, like God is on him, and just some really good stuff. So I'm excited for them to take over that community. And then, same as all, we'll see what's going to happen in the next couple of months as that community grows. Then our last community is Jose Stoffberg. You want to come stand here with us? Super excited for Jose. So Jose led with Altus and Anel, but Altus and Anel, we want to give them just some time. They've just got a new baby. And who's had new babies? It's not that, So I say to them, like, find your feet, and we'll see how God's going to be using them in the future. But just the real sense that Jose is taking over that community and leading the charge. But, a big but, I wanted to add a couple with him that can help Jose just in the way that he learns and communicates and grows in the Lord. And we are putting Daniel and Maritza with Jose to support him, to be with him, and to just build community with him. And with Daniel and Maritza, I'm super excited. They really carry such a value of drawing people in and building with young guys and with young adults and so forth. So we want to see what happens. They'll probably be with Jose. It might be a month, two, three, or the whole year. We're going to see. But then from there, see what is the new community that they could come and support and grow and raise up leaders. So watch that space as well. We'll see how that all pans out. So these are the community leaders. These are the, very exciting. Very exciting. I almost called them bedpans. I'm like, no, that's not the word. What is that? The pot holder. Yeah, you're not bedpans, guys. Okay, you're pot holders. No, I'm joking. Got that one terribly wrong. Please don't call them bedpans. But just, we want to this morning pray for them, and I want you guys to see who they are. And, you know, there's a story in Exodus where Moses was busy with the people of God. And the principle that comes through is from actually his father-in-law, where his father-in-law said, the job that you've got is too big for yourself. Find reliable men, trustworthy men, men that are full of integrity, that's full of the Spirit of God, and put them over the people of God to help grow what God is busy growing. And so for us, we're going wide at the moment. We're creating space so that as we create space, God can add more people to us, because we want to be those that make sure that every person gets looked after, that not one person slips through or falls through the cracks, or that we, so that as the Lord adds, we know God, every person is cared for. So we as elders will be working very close with these guys. As deacons, we'll be working very close with them and being with them. So often as elders, we might not be able to get to you, but your community members are there and your leaders are there. And we trust them. We trust them. They as well going to give an account one day on what they have done. Not as much as us as elders, but they want to be faithful in everything that they do. So I want to ask, can we all stand? And can I ask some of the elders or all the elders, can you come out and just lay your hands on these guys? You want to add anything?
Where's Stu? Stu, come stand here quickly. Just before we pray for them. I want to pick on my friend quick. But he had a shirt on this morning, but it was kind of half covered. Half cover your shirt here quick. And Corinne's like, what's Norisk? Like looking hashtag Norisk. But there's more to it. What does it say?
No risk, no story.
No risk, no story. Very cool. So what's Norisk? Okay. She's blonde, beautiful blonde of mine. She's, I love you. I'm not a joke. But in that, faith is risking. And a lot of these people are like, whoa, what about? Man, we trust in God. So you've been around us long enough. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we want to ask you, with each of these, come and blow wind in their sails. You might have question marks. You might have like, whoa, this person did this or did that. Man, we trust in God to break through as we as a church and a community walk forward together. Can we ask that? So give our hearts. Lay aside all the past, preconceived ideas of the people. Get behind them. Let 50 people come join Marcel here. Whatever God is prompting you. Then as you work it out, please work it out with your leaders. Come and speak to us. If you're feeling that you need that you, after 2 or 3 weeks, you want to shift to another community, come and let us know. Work it through. So some of these community leaders might currently be working with you on deeper issues, and you find, this is my gap out of here. Okay? No, we're going to say, you are going to stay there for another 10 years. Or no, we won't do that, but we're going to work it with your faith that you don't find this as an op-out to now duck out and find a nice, happy community and haven't worked through your current issues that they've been working with for many years or months. Okay, so let's work it out well. Let's apply wisdom to it, and together we'll take the land for Jesus. Okay? Amen.
So let's stretch out our hands to them. You can just put your hands on these guys, your elders as well. Father, Jesus, you said that the harvest is plentiful, God, and the workers are few. But Lord, we look today at these guys as workers in your field, God, men and women that have sacrificed their own time, their own lives, their own pleasures and desires, Lord, to say, how do I serve the people of God? How do I give myself to God's people? And just today, Lord, as they have stood aside, Lord, and saying this, put up their hands and said to you, yes, God, we want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come now and strengthen them. Holy Spirit, fill them up with your presence, fill them up with your anointing. Let them know, God, that they can run hard with you, Lord, and that your hand is upon their lives, God. Give them wisdom in situations, give them understanding, God. And just as they build family, Lord, I pray that you will bless them tenfold of what they are giving out, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Woo! Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks. So God's busy building, and so I'm really excited. So I want to encourage you, even now, today, before you rush home, if there's someone you want to go visit, make sure connect with them. And like I've said, make sure it's God. Don't just try and get out of situations, but let's work that through as each one so that each one can get looked after. And then the last thing I just want to drop on us today, just a little thing for you guys to consider. As a church, we're busy growing. So there's a number of areas where you can get involved with, you know. As the Bible actually says, as each one does his part. And I remember coming into Josh Gen. I started making coffee and tea. Back then, we didn't have fancy coffees. It was much like this. And I just made tea, and I served, and I smiled, and I said hello. And, you know, there was times that we did certain other things, and we just gave of ourselves, Leanne and myself, and we just served wherever's needed. And I wanted to make all of us aware of some of the areas in church where you can get involved with. If you're not serving in some form in the church, I want to stir you. Start serving. If you feel God is adding you to this house, start going, where can I get involved in? And some of the areas is Kids Church. Kids Church is one of the areas. Today, all our Kids Church workers are here. We've actually got leaders that was at the time that we just did all this. They all serving there. So half of them don't even know what they're doing, you know. But it's like, no, I'm joking. Poor Anne's going, what? No, they know what they're doing. They're moms and dads, so they know how to look after kids. But more than that, Kids Church isn't just looking after kids. It's building into the little ones' lives. Serve at Kids Church. We've got sound guys, Reynard and the team, and there's a bunch of guys that come here. You know that these guys here in the mornings from 7 o'clock? Starting to lay out cables, starting to carry stuff, starting to get ready. And they do it because they're going, Lord, we want to worship you together. There's guys here early packing out chairs. There's the youth. There's multiple things going on in the weeks of where people are serving and getting involved. And I want to, if you're not serving anywhere, I want to ask you, come ask. Say, where can I get involved? Hey, I love this. Can I get involved somewhere? Can I come and learn how to roll up a music cable? Because that is one of the most important things to do, you know? I honestly believe one of the most holy jobs in this church right now is packing our chairs on a Sunday morning. Hey? And pancakes. Definitely pancakes. Pancakes is a big area. We've got, again, Jock and Alna for years now. And how do we help them? How do we get involved? How do we take over and say, can we relieve you that you're not here every week? But packing our chairs, making pancakes, all those kind of things, it's so that when people come in, they experience the life of God. You, the chair you pack out on a Sunday could have the next person that becomes to get to know Jesus. That's why it's so important. So if you don't know, we're going to speak a little bit more on this going forward, but get involved. Jump in. Youth, we've got youth on Fridays, and God's going to be stirring the youth. Got some exciting news hopefully coming this week around that, which we'll share if that comes through. But God is busy building his church. And we're excited to do it with you guys. God's added every single one of you to here. So get involved. Come ask. Amen?